How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every Sunday by the man himself, Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We have lots of news to talk about today. Tons of news, not the least of which is the heart attack of Jerry the King Lawler live on Raw. One of the craziest things that's ever happened in the history of wrestling took place this past Monday night. We've got a health update on Jerry Lawler, and we've got a pay-per-view tonight. Jerry Lawler will not be there, but his replacement is looking to be JBL. Is that going to be a permanent replacement? Is Lawler going to be coming back to the booth? Can Lawler ever wrestle again? What is the latest on The King? We're going to talk all about that on the show here today, plus run down all of the matches for Night of Champions. Obviously, a lot of championship matches. We'll talk about them all here. WWE is in kind of a swing of not changing titles. However, there are a lot of feuds that have been going on for a long time, and it would seem that the time has come to change some belts. Is that going to take place tonight? What titles might change hands? And where might they be going over the next several months? We're going to talk about all of that here tonight on the show, as well as a lot of other news. Last week, moments before we went off the air, the TNA pay-per-view was beginning, so we didn't have any results last week, but we're going to talk about that show here this week. No Surrender, it was called, if I recall correctly. And it is the final show before their biggest show of the year, Bound for Glory, so we've got the main event of that show. Plans change, as people say. James Storm will not be fighting Robert Roode for the title at Bound for Glory. Instead, they're going to be having a non-title singles match. We'll talk about that, plus what went down on Impact this past Thursday night, SmackDown this past Friday night, Raw this past Monday night, all of the television, and of course all of the UFC news. Been kind of a quiet period for UFC, but that is about to end. Ultimate Fighter started on Friday, for those of you that saw it. We have pay-per-view shows coming up. We've got main events, changes as always, and those changes will likely continue. But a lot of stuff to talk about today, so we are going to kick it off after the break. And don't forget, later on this afternoon, live running play-by-play of the pay-per-view at WrestlingObserver.com. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, and playing on the Sports Byline channel if you have the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. And last Monday on Raw, one of the craziest moments in the history of televised wrestling, live on the air, Jerry the King Lawler suffered a massive heart attack. Massive enough that had this not taken place at Raw, Jerry Lawler probably would not be with us right now. He had just wrestled about 30 minutes earlier. Seemed fine when he returned to the booth. No ill effects from the match. And then suddenly, he was down. And the guys in Montreal, the EMTs, the emergency medical technicians, all rushed to assist him. They got him backstage. They worked on him for a significant amount of time, got him to the hospital, managed to bring him back. And as of the time that you are listening to this, Jerry Lawler is doing very well. I believe he is still hospitalized, but he is up. He is moving around. He is talking. He is laughing. He is walking. He is eating. It's a quite remarkable recovery so far, given the fact that he was without oxygen for many minutes on end. Biggest concern was brain damage. Jerry the King Lawler, obviously, is quick wit. Was that going to be affected negatively by this heart attack? Apparently, the answer is no. And, amazingly enough, after having a stent put in, his doctor, just a couple of days after this massive heart attack, which nearly killed him, his doctor said, man is healthy enough that there is no reason he should not be able to return to the ring. So a lot of good news, perhaps some bad news, depending on how you look at the situation, in regards to returning to the ring at 62 after a massive heart attack. I guess the question first, Mike Sempervivi, is where were you when Jerry Lawler had a heart attack on Raw?
I was kind of sitting there watching the match, going back and forth between that and Monday Night Football. And, you know, I flipped on football and then flipped it back, and I saw the crowd, you know, with their attention taken away, as if there was a fight in the stands. And I didn't really pay attention to the Jerry chant. I guess I had missed that, so I didn't think it had anything to do with him. But then they flashed over, and they had the shot from the entrance side of the ring, where it was obvious that Michael Cole, and you heard him just stop announcing, and then it was quiet, and you saw him kind of like ducking down and tending to Jerry, and you didn't see Jerry there at all, and you wondered what was going on, but I didn't really, again, think, for some reason, I just didn't think too much about it. And then there was a tweet from Arta O'Cowell, who was there, who works at The Score in Canada, saying that he saw Jerry grab his arm and slump over, and I, on the DVR, I rewound it, and I guess I had missed the sound of what sounded like Jerry Lawler snoring, and it was him having the heart attack and having, you know, the deep breathing that sounded like snoring, and it was a very eerie, it was a terrible, eerie thing to happen, and, you know, it was so bizarre, even more bizarre to see 3 days later after this situation that he's drinking a caffeinated Diet Coke and he seemed to be eating some meat in the hospital, which wouldn't exactly be my first choice, I wouldn't think, for a meal after you've had a heart attack. But, it's just, you know, the lot of hopes that Jerry would pull the strap down like he did in his famous wrestling career, and damned if he didn't, because the people in Montreal all did an incredibly great job, and he got very, very lucky. And obviously, you know, you can't tell a man what to do. This is how he makes a living, and if he feels like he's healthy to go out there and he's got medical approval to go out there, then hey, why not, I guess. That's always what people have said about Evander Holyfield and staying out there. If you're medically cleared to go and you feel like you can do it, who are we to take away your career? But from a purely selfish point of view, as someone who's always been a big fan of Jerry Lawler and a follower of Jerry Lawler from over the years, yeah, I would kind of hope he would get out of it. But, just a unique and scary and just an amazing. It's amazing it's not even been a week yet, and it so much has happened. It feels like so long ago.
Now, I was watching the show. I'm on the West Coast here, so I hadn't even started watching the show yet. I started to get the updates at about 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 Eastern, and what a weird, terrifying, strange several hours it was. I ended up watching the show after word came in that Lawler was breathing on his own, had a heartbeat back, so it was very surreal watching the show. It was easier for me because I knew that he was all right, or at least he'd survived when I started watching it. But, I mean, for fans that, you know, I think a lot of fans watching on television, especially if you watch the ratings pattern, like, a lot of fans either didn't know what happened or didn't think it was real, or I think what is likely is that there was the usual ratings pattern where the fans kind of flipped back and forth, and in flipping back and forth, maybe they missed some of the Michael Cole updates. It really speaks to the power of social media, or the lack thereof, I guess would be the better usage of the term, in the sense that there were a lot of people tweeting about what happened with Jerry Lawler. I mean, a lot of people. The Pray for Lawler hashtag was all over the place, retweeted by WWE. I mean, It was everywhere during that last hour, and there was the exact same ratings pattern we have every week. All of these tweets and all of this social media attention to Jerry Lawler's heart attack did not result in anybody new, or even any of the viewers that had switched to watch football or whatever, going back to watch Raw. It was pretty astonishing, actually, the lack of impact that social media had. But for all those people that were tuning in very closely and following all the updates, I'm sure it was a very, very, very difficult final hour. But the question, I guess, that actually has been asked a lot less than obviously it was when Owen Hart died, since Jerry Lawler did not die, and ended up all right. A lot less question, a lot fewer questions about should the show have been stopped. And I know that at about 7:20 p.m., when Lawler was, you know, if he wasn't in the building, he just left the building, and it was looking extremely dire. I mean, my thought was, you got to stop this show. But they didn't. They kept the show going, and everybody needed to continue performing. And later, when I went back and I watched the show, there was something about the fact that they kept the show going, they kept Michael Cole giving us updates, and by the time the show went off the air, as coincidence would have it, Lawler had recovered enough that Michael Cole was able to close the program with good news. And obviously, hindsight is 20/20, but I was glad that that was able to happen. And I greatly preferred that to the show having gone off the air at 20 after, with the idea being that perhaps Jerry Lawler is not going to make it. I mean, when I think about viewers and little kids, I mean, that's pretty scary to be watching Raw, and Raw just ends early because of what happened with Jerry Lawler. I mean, it would be terrifying for people. And granted, nobody knew what was going to happen. So, I mean, hindsight being 20/20, you could still argue that they should have stopped the show. But I was happy that for all of those millions of viewers that stuck with the show until the end, they at least got to go to bed with good news. So, I guess from that perspective, I'm glad they didn't stop the show. But, you know, I guess, first off, your thoughts on stopping the show and then what needs to be done in the future.
Well, I know we're going up against a break here, so I'll just say that I think how everything had worked out, you know, it was for the best, actually, and I think they did the best job they possibly could have done by not having the announcing. And again, I wasn't a big fan of having Michael Cole there either, although if he chose to stay, that's a completely different story. But that was the only thing that made me a little uncomfortable, was the fact that he was so shaken up. And yeah, even though he's a Iraq War, you know, reporting veteran and all that sort of stuff, to have that happen right next to you was obviously a scary thing. So why they couldn't have Matthews or Stanford or somebody, Stryker or somebody like that, go out, I don't know. But I guess we get into this more after the break.
Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next 2 hours, pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And lots of news to get into today, not the least of which is the heart attack of Jerry Lawler on Raw. We spent the first 10 minutes talking about that here on the program. Wanted to mention that, first off, a hearty thank you and congratulations to the medical personnel up in Montreal. As noted, Lawler's heart attack was so severe that had this happened virtually anywhere else, on an airplane, in a hotel room, during a match on an indie show, in the car, Jerry Lawler would not be with us right now. That's almost a guarantee. And the fact that it happened and the medical personnel were right there, the hospital was a minute away, it was the best possible scenario for Jerry the King Lawler. And that brings to mind what should be done if something like this happens on a future show. Now, granted, in the first segment, I talked about how happy I was that fans were able to go off the air with good news about Jerry Lawler. I know that, personally, I was checking WWE.com to see how they were going to handle this story, and it was not until in fact, it might not have been until Tuesday that the information was updated on WWE.com about his condition. Immediately after Raw, there was a giant graphic there about Lawler suffers heart attack on Raw. You know, keep coming back for more information. And there wasn't more information for a long time. So if you were a fan and the show had gone off the air early and, you know, all you knew was that Lawler had a heart attack and it was severe enough that they ended Raw early, and then you go to WWE.com for updates and there are no updates, I mean, you know, there would be millions of people not sleeping. And the fact that they were able to go off the air with Cole in a very upbeat manner, saying that Lawler was doing better, he was breathing, he was stabilized, that was a good thing for people. But what do you do in the future? What precautions should be taken if something like this happens on a Raw show, a live show, or a pay-per-view, Mike?
Well, you know, I really don't think there's anything you can do. I mean, it happened in Cincinnati years ago. A baseball umpire on opening day had a heart attack and died on the field before the game had begun. It's one of those things, and I kind of was hoping that they would. I was surprised they went over like they did, and they decided to go with Punk and with Cena and Bret Hart out there. Because that was phenomenal. I mean, they did a phenomenal job. The problem was it was overshadowed by what happened with Lawler, and there were still people just who were, you know, wrestling fans who were probably numb at that point, just sitting there, you know, with their jaws hanging open, staring. I mean, I thought they would really just go ahead and end the show at 11 o'clock, and I thought that would be sufficient, and I don't know. I'm so jaded when it comes to how professional wrestling treats things. And, you know, I would just expect the show to go on, and I'm not even going to judge whether that's right or wrong. But remember, Jerry Lawler is a guy whose, you know, mother passed away, and he was completely fine in that old-school fashion with using that as part of the storyline with Michael Cole leading into WrestleMania. And people bristled at it, but it was a throwback to the old school. You know, Ray Gunkel, who died in Georgia and caused a big split down there, had a heart attack, and they, you know, Ox Baker was credited with, you know, the cause of it, and Freddie Blassie in Japan causing heart attacks to fans. You know, even though those stories are in lore, there are things you couldn't do today, and I think they ended up handling this thing in the best possible way. And again, short of an Owen Hart type of situation again, I think, you know, obviously if there's a death that happens, you know, somehow during a match or something like that, I can definitely see that being stopped. And I think that you can stop the show there. They should do that, and they should just go ahead and not continue on if something like that were to, God forbid, ever happen again. But I think short of that, you know, Buff Bagwell, you know, looking like he would be paralyzed in that match with Rick Steiner on Nitro or a situation like this, I think you go ahead until you have a concrete knowledge of how the person is, and that they didn't die, you know, on the way out of the building. I think short of that, you go ahead and continue on with the show. And again, this may just be because I'm jaded or because I just don't have a good answer, because I don't think there can be any good answers. You're in emotion and you're trying to do the best that you can at the time. And again, outside, my only problem was keeping Michael Cole out there, and that's if and only if he chose, you know, to not be out there, and they kept him out there anyway. But that's the only thing I can really criticize WWE for. I know a lot of people want to jump on them for stopping the show, but again, I don't know. Again, with the wrestlers and with history and everything else, I don't know if you just don't go ahead and continue on with it short of a death.
The medical personnel were right there, and they always are. And, you know, as you noted, they got him to the back, and they went to work. They did the best they could. I would say that I think that the best policy would be to stabilize the person before you drag him to the back, in the sense that Lawler went down, and they sent the EMTs out there, and as soon as they knew that he was unresponsive, they picked him up, they dragged him to the back, threw him on a stretcher, got him back there, and went to work. And granted, I mean they were working on him within 90 seconds, but at the same time, could have been a crucial 90 seconds. And I think that if somebody goes down, I think the policy should be as I don't know, maybe some would disagree, that it would be too traumatic to go to work on somebody in the middle of the ring or right down there at ringside, and maybe it's best to get him backstage first. But I just kind of think every second counts, and maybe they should have attempted to stabilize Lawler at ringside as opposed to going back. But again, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and he ended up. I shouldn't keep saying he ended up fine. It was a massive heart attack. He is 62 years old. There's still going to be a long road ahead, but he ended up, it was in some ways, given how long he was without oxygen, it was a miracle. But every second counts, and I do feel that that sometimes you need to make the decision, and maybe every time, to stabilize the person the best you can before you transport them backstage and waste that 90 seconds. But I am not a doctor. I'm not an EMT. I'm not a psychologist. Maybe the best thing to do is get the person away from the people. And I guess the other question for you is regarding the people. Those of us at home were given updates by Michael Cole throughout the evening. Fans in attendance were not. And it was this interesting situation because it's always funny when you get reports from shows. People will talk about how the crowd was great. Or they will talk about, oh man, the crowd was dead. Or, oh, the crowd just deflated after this or that. There's no answer to how a crowd reacts to anything except the overall. I think that the best, whenever you hear a live report about how the crowd didn't care about this or whatever, I think you're better off actually watching the tape or the DVR or whatever, or just watching it live. Because I've been in a lot of buildings with a lot of fans, and a lot of your belief about how fans were reacting to anything is based on where you were. I've been at places in a building where the crowd just seemed so dead all night long. And you go back and watch it on TV and it's like, wow, this crowd was hot. I was just in a dead part of the building. Or you go to a show and you're surrounded by dingbats that are going wild and you're like, man, this show was so fun. And you go home and watch it on TV and the crowd was dead. A lot of it can depend on where you were, who you were with, who you were surrounded by, etc. And we got a lot of reports from fans that that were talking about how, man, everybody knew something went wrong with Lawler, and it just kind of deflated the crowd for the rest of the night. And then you watch on television, and at a lot of points, there were some Lawler chants and everything, but at a lot of points, the crowd was reacting exactly how they would have reacted otherwise. And we did get reports from people that said, we had no idea what was going on until the end of the show, and Justin Roberts said that the appreciation night had been canceled. So, question to you, Mike, is, do you tell the fans, or do you not?
Even when it comes to news media outlets and things like that, I mean, there's always, you know, debate over how fast they should come out with information, and you know, until you absolutely positively knew for sure to me at that hospital that he was stable. Unless you wanted to treat it with like regular updates at every single break on, you know, the rumors on how Jerry's doing. And because you can tend to bring people up and down with that kind of stuff a lot. I mean, in the Washington area, people, when Sean Taylor, the Washington Redskins, was shot in his leg, in an artery up near his groin, people, you know, got, you know, relaxed a little bit, happy when they found out he was in stable condition. And then they turned around and all of a sudden, he was not, and ended up passing away from it. So I think you're walking your slippery slope within your WWE with how much information are you going to give out if you're not 100% sure of it, too. And again, the website kind of falls into that category as well. And, you know, are they probably going to be a little too slow in doing it? Yeah, I'm sure that they are, but I don't know necessarily if you criticize him for it, but I was also under the impression that at the end of the show, I know John Cena was going to make an announcement, was cut off because Michael Cole was still on the TV broadcast letting us know what was happening with Lawler, but I thought after that they had made some sort of announcement, which, to be honest, at that point, to me, I think that's fine and okay to do. I'm not necessarily sure in that hour that it happened that I would have repeatedly brought the crowd possibly up or down or really, you know, depressed them out. Because if you weren't going to cancel the show, if Jerry Lawler had died, would you have said that and then sent CM Punk and Bret Hart and John Cena out there? I don't think so. So I think, again, I don't know if there's any right answers here, but I think they did, again, the best they possibly have could.
All right, we're going to head to a break here in just a moment. When we come back, as noted, Jerry Lawler, obviously not at the WWE pay-per-view this afternoon, but replacing him, at least for today and tomorrow, is John Bradshaw Layfield. JBL is returning to the commentary booth, and we're going to talk about the entire Night of Champions pay-per-view coming up after the break. All of the matches on the show and more. Should be a fun time. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Moments after the show goes off the air today, it is the WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view. We're going to be talking about that card here in just a moment. If you want live running play-by-play of the event, head to WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is going to be going over all of the matches as they take place on the front page of our website. And as an added bonus, I shall be live tweeting. That's right. Starting at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, I'm going to be tweeting my thoughts on the show. You can follow me at Brian Alvarez. Follow me there, and you can find out what's going on. You can also send me messages on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. We are doing a poll this weekend. What improvements would you like to see on the website? We're going to be doing some changes there, the least of which is stuff like trying to arrange the Observer and Figure Four archive so that instead of just being a hodgepodge of issues, they will be arranged by date, by year. So that's going to be the first thing we're going to work on. We're going to be adding some different show dynamics as well. I've got a bunch of ideas. So if you have a suggestion, what you'd like to see changed on the site, head to Twitter and send your request to at Brian Alvarez. Got a lot of very good ones over the last couple of days, and I'm sure more to come. So check that out as well for live play-by-play of the pay-per-view. Mike, your Twitter.
At Sempervivi.
That's easy.
S-E-M-P-E-R-V-I-V-E. Always alive if you know your Latin.
That's right. You're not the Sempervivi?
Well, I just, not the Sempervivi, although if you just want to go with just Semp, that's fine too.
All right, so check out those Twitters. Dave's up there as well, Dave Meltzer, W-O-N, on Twitter, and follow us all here on this website. At W-O-N-F-4-W is the site Twitter, if that's not confusing enough. At W-O-N-F-4-W, or at Brian Alvarez is probably the easiest. So check it out, and we'll be tweeting tonight. Anyway, the pay-per-view this evening is headlined by I almost said the Battle Royal. That's actually the pre-show. It is headlined by CM Punk versus John Cena for the WWE title. They have been feuding for a long time. John Cena has not been champion for a long time. It doesn't seem like it's the right time for John Cena to beat CM Punk for the title. Actually, let me rephrase that. It doesn't seem like it's the right time for Punk to lose the title, but based on the way they put this feud together, it does feel like Cena's time has come to win the championship. So that presents a quandary, the unstoppable force and the immovable object. Mike, when the smoke clears tonight, who is the WWE champion?
CM Punk.
All right.
I honestly believe that they, I think... Even they realize they can get more value out of CM Punk rolling into the Royal Rumble with that championship. And again, you know how many more pay-per-views do you have until then, too? But I think there's really value there. They've been able to Punk's been able to portray himself to people that would listen to this show as a throwback where champions meant something, and WWE's doing that too because Sheamus has had a very long reign as well. But I forget who Punk would pass on the way to facing The Rock at the Royal Rumble. I can't remember exactly who it is, but I think you get more value out of him and the situation he's in now. You've also got the tie-in with Paul Heyman over the last 2 weeks, so that's obviously, again, since you're doing that, I just find it difficult to believe that you would want to have John Cena go ahead and win the title. Again, I know they've had a history of, well, it's this guy's time to do it, and especially when it comes to the Raw side of things, whether they should do it or not, oftentimes it happens. But I just think, under the circumstances right now, I'd really be surprised if they took the belt off of CM Punk.
Well, the CM Punk John Cena feud, well, it has been going on forever. I mean, John Cena has only lost really one match to CM Punk, and it was a three-way. SummerSlam, they did the three-way, Punk, Show, and Cena, and Cena lost that match. But prior to that, Cena won the Money in the Bank at Money in the Bank. He beat the Big Show in a cage match at No Way Out. And really his last loss was all the way back to John Laurinaitis, which was a obviously not a clean loss or anything like that at the Over the Limit pay-per-view. So he hasn't had a terrible record leading into this show. And I guess we'll find out, what do you do with John Cena if he doesn't win the title tonight? I would think that it would seem somebody has to run in. Who would that be? Who is going to be feuding with John Cena? I guess we'll see. Or they could do another, they could do something here that will lead to a Hell in the Cell match between the two. But again, question remains. If you put CM Punk over tonight, even via interference, and that leads to your Hell in the Cell match, then what? How does John Cena do yet another job in a cage match for CM Punk? They're very, very protective of John Cena, which is why this whole situation is rather interesting here. I think, obviously, if you're going to be doing John Cena versus The Rock for the title at WrestleMania, then John Cena should be without the title for the longest amount of time possible, which would mean he doesn't get a title win between now and then. Of course, we have talked about the possibility, at least, of doing John Cena versus Punk tonight. Cena wins the title. Rock beats Cena at the Rumble. And then you do Rock and Punk at Mania. Although, as Dave pointed out last night, that means that The Rock beats John Cena twice. And I'm not sure if that's going to be happening. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they book that tonight. But I presume CM Punk is finally going to be closing a pay-per-view here tonight.
Yeah, I would figure as much. And, I mean, I don't know what the Big Show's status is right now, but you have a safe tie-in with one of the last, you know, guys he had a run-in with Cena. You know, he's got a history with Punk. He's got a history with Paul Heyman. You could have him interfere, if not tonight, tomorrow, get involved with Cena where, you know, the last match they had was a cage match, and then they take it up a notch and have a Hell in the Cell encounter. I guess you could do something like that. I don't think you have to overthink what you can do with John Cena, because for the most part, you can put him in with anybody or keep him in the situation, even with CM Punk, in some sort of way, maybe not directly, but even indirectly, just because you're not going to have The Rock for a long period of time.
Where is the Big Show?
Well, that's the whole thing, and they've been, you know, he's been quiet. I don't think he's certainly not hurt or anything like that. I mean, I don't know if he would. Is Johnny Laurinaitis still on the road?
Actually, John Laurinaitis got hurt, so he's not on the road. But where the hell did Big Show go? Has he been around since SummerSlam?
Well, that's the whole thing. He has not been. And I can't remember exactly what the story was when he went out, but obviously they're going to lose Randy Orton for a little bit of time, or at least, you know, at some periods of time, so. Again, I don't see them calling up Jon Moxley or anything like that. So to bring back the Big Show is the most obvious name to me. Although, you know, there's enough guys on that roster where if they wanted to try to do something with someone and take it seriously, this is one of those times that would be, you know, a good time to do it. And then you could see what you have, you know, going into the end of the year, into next year, and then the restart that happens after WrestleMania.
I really like the Big Show. Big fan of his. But I don't know what it says about me or the business or the amount of television or what that this dude just disappeared for a month and I didn't even know he was gone.
Hey, they, you know, to give WWE credit for this, if you can give them credit, they've always done a good job for the most part. And when guys, they're able to slide guys away, like nobody's thinking about Chris Jericho anymore. A couple weeks after Raw, even though, you know, Batista did such a good job, they're always able to quietly, you know, make guys go away and beat you over the head with what they've got going. So it doesn't really surprise me that he's kind of slipped out of mind. What should be a bigger surprise is the fact that, you know, it's somebody basically from another era who they'd have to bring back to really make some impact, because, I don't know, I just don't have any faith if they decide to go ahead and pull the trigger on someone that they would actually do a good enough job trying to get them over.
Now, we've got a world title match. It's Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio, and they've been feuding for a long time. Sheamus has beat him repeatedly. Sheamus has beaten Dolph Ziggler repeatedly.
Yeah. Two guys who are a good example of what I just said.
Yeah. Now, they are strongly teasing, at least on SmackDown, that tonight is the night that Dolph Ziggler cashes in his briefcase. And usually when they do that, that's a indication that that's not the direction they're going. Now, granted, plans change. So they may have shot SmackDown with no intention of Ziggler cashing in the briefcase, and this weekend went, I've got a great idea! And Ziggler cashes in. But I don't know, again, I don't know what you do with this match here, because is it really time for Alberto Del Rio? Is Alberto Del Rio really hot enough at this point that he should be the champion? At the same time, they've done such a good job with Sheamus. Sheamus is a very popular babyface pro wrestler. You know, he may not light everybody's world on fire, but from talking to people that have gone to live events, Sheamus is very popular. He's very over right now. And that is because he is pushed as an Irish Triple H, basically. He beats everybody with his move. The idea behind banning his move is obviously the fact that it's getting the bro kick even more over. That's kind of the whole deal. Let's get his finish as over as possible. I suppose you could do the deal tonight where he can't help but do the bro kick and is stripped of the title. Alberto gets it. Ziggler cashes in. I don't know what you do, but it seems like, I don't know. You've got to put the title on Alberto after beating him so many times. Maybe you don't. Maybe it just doesn't matter anymore. But it's very interesting looking at the state of this feud and how many times the heel has lost. And here we are doing the match yet again. The idea that Sheamus would just beat him again and be like, that would be like if Alberto Del Rio was on his way out, which he's not. But again, it's a new business, so I don't know what they'll do tonight. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, to me, they've done a hell of a job with Sheamus. Actually, they really have. And I don't know. Actually, we'll talk about this. Wait, no, actually, what?
We got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, that's right. Always good with the time cues. To be honest, I mean, they have done such a poor job getting Alberto. I mean, Ricardo is more over than Alberto Del Rio is, and I don't think that's through any fault of his. It's just how he's been portrayed. And I think it is time for him to go ahead and take the belt, even though he is not hot, just because I don't know how. I mean, they've done a great job with Sheamus, and he's held up to, you know, his end of the deal, too. I mean, he does not mind getting into, you know, high-impact brawling matches. And again, I think, you know, obviously, being somewhat of a Triple H disciple, he's, you know, gotten over as the third most over guy in the company. One of the reasons is, he's become, you know, he's got a slimy side to him, and he's been able to, you know, like the last pay-per-view, do basically heelish tactics and pull out the victory. But I don't know if he can go ahead and do that again here with Alberto Del Rio and not do major damage to him. If Del Rio's going to go over to Raw or something like that and go ahead and, you know, be in the mix maybe against John Cena or something like that, okay, I understand it, but even though he's not hot right now, I don't know how you can continue going on with, you know, a dominant Sheamus as, you know, face champion. I think him going back to chase Del Rio or getting involved with Ziggler or something like that, to me, makes, you know, a lot more sense.
Do you think Ziggler cashes in tonight?
No, I don't. I think they still got a long way to go, and I just don't think they're going to need to do it.
Thing with Money in the Bank is it was always like, it worked the best when it was like a complete surprise. Where, like, oh my gosh, Ziggler's going to cash in. I'd totally forgotten. But it makes sense to you that he would do it. And the fact that they mention it repeatedly, it's like, now you expect it all the time, and it never happened. So I presume at some point they just got to drop it, like they drop Big Show from television, and it'll be surprised when he actually cashes it in. Or maybe he'll just cash it in tonight. We'll talk more about this after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, and the TuneIn Radio app. On your smartphone, search for the Sports Byline channel, and you can hear us every Sunday afternoon. After this show ends, immediately after this show goes off the air, it is the WWE pay-per-view, Night of Champions, live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. I'll be doing live tweeting at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. And actually, in about 45 minutes, the pre-show is starting. A battle royal is taking place tonight on YouTube. And the winner is going to get a shot at Antonio Cesaro in his United States Championship on the show tonight. So, Mike, first off, who is your battle royal predicted winner, and does he beat Antonio Cesaro?
I have absolutely no idea. I have absolutely, you know, I'm going to have to think about this over the break, but you know what, whoever it is, no, it actually wouldn't surprise me if he won the belt, but I hope they continue on and give Cesaro this experiment. Hopefully they drag it out a little bit longer, because they have not given it the justice he's probably due thus far, being tied in with Santino and such a cartoonish storyline. I'd like to see him head up against somebody else first, just to see how it goes.
On SmackDown, he was attacked by Brodus Clay. So what a
That's
coincidence.
That's not the dude I'm thinking of.
What a coincidence that would be if Brodus won that Battle Royal and got a shot. I should note, by the way, very quickly, that Brodus, when he did his run-in on Thursday, no dancers. And they made a point of the fact that there was no dancing. And obviously Cameron had her DUI incident and was suspended for 15 days. 15 days is long up, and she's not back. Probably does not bode well for her. And unfortunately, it may not bode well for any of them, really. We'll talk more when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. As we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have been talking the Night of Champions pay-per-view from WWE for most of the first hour, as well as the Jerry Lawler heart attack live on Raw last Monday night. Lawler is doing much better. I'm sure we'll be getting updates on the show tonight. Mike, what are your thoughts on the possibility of Jerry Lawler calling in tonight to the WWE pay-per-view and saying hello to the WWE universe?
I'll do you one better. How about he sends it out?
He already has!
He'll double it. Yeah, but they're pushing this thing. I mean, I saw my boy Robert Flores on ESPN this morning. They're actually doing this for the fantasy football show they have on ESPN2 before the games begin. They're touting away even on ESPN. So what would make you think, when they have a new product like this, that they're not going to beat it over your head? Yes, I expect Jerry Lawler touts tonight.
Tonight, JBL is standing in for Jerry Lawler. He'll be back tomorrow on Raw as well. I know that I believe Jim Ross is actually in town as well, so it's possible we could have a three-man crew of Ross, Cole, and JBL. Maybe Ross will call one match. Maybe Ross will be out there to do an announcement. Maybe he won't even be on the show at all. Who knows? But that is the plan for Night of Champions. We've been running down all the matches. So far, we've talked about the two title matches. Well, they're all title matches. The two big title matches here on the show, that being John Cena and CM Punk for the WWE title, as well as Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio for the world title. And we also talked briefly about Antonio Cesaro as well, and the pre-show Battle Royal winner he will be facing for the U.S. title. The only match not a title match on the show is Randy Orton versus Dolph Ziggler. And because I'm looking at the lineup and every match has a title on the line except that one, I wouldn't be surprised if they did a last-minute stipulation. If Orton wins, he gets the briefcase. I don't expect him to win it, or perhaps that won't even happen, but we could talk about that possibility after the break. Got another hour of action here, everybody. Be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Joined, as we are every Sunday, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We are talking the WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view which is taking place just moments after this show goes off the air. Found out during commercial break, I likely will not be live tweeting the show, but I will be doing, through the magic of the Twitter machine, live delayed play-by-play, starting at 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So yeah, I'll be giving my thoughts a little later on in the evening as opposed to live. But don't worry, Dave Meltzer will be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, so you can get all of the results as they take place on the front page of our website if you do not happen to be purchasing the show, or if you're purchasing the show and are wondering, what does Dave Meltzer think of this particular match involving Layla? Well, you can find out at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, I know you're a big fan of Layla.
Yeah, I might be doing some tweeting during this match.
Oh, Mike. It's a PG show. She's facing Caitlyn for the Divas Championship. Is there going to be a new women's champion?
No, there is not. No, there is not. Obviously, Caitlyn got into this match when Eve Torres accidentally eliminated herself in a battle royal a couple of weeks ago, which I believe was that the show where we had such epic commentary between The Miz and Layla, and we got Layla jumping up and calling Miz capital Mr. Phony. Yes, I know Layla is no fun to watch in the ring, but if you're a fan of thighs, this whole triangle that's been going on with Eve and Layla and Caitlyn has been a fantastic, fantastic thing. But I like the direction that they've gone with Eve and her being the now trying to be the over-the-top good-doer obviously in what seems to be the slimiest way in the tie-in with Booker T on SmackDown and the whole nine yards. So I would assume when it's time for Layla to drop the belt, it's going to be to Eve.
Did you say if you're a fan of thighs?
There are some impressive thighs. Now, if you like the more muscular thighs, obviously Caitlyn, who is a former bodybuilder and fitness model, plays into that. If you like the dancer thighs, well, you've got Layla. And if you like thighs that are going to be marrying into the Gracie household, there's nothing wrong with Eve.
That's right. Now, what did Layla call The Miz you quoted there?
Capital Mr. Phony.
Capital? You see, I listened to that whole thing and I was just, my mind was boggled, if that's a proper term there. And I couldn't figure out what was going on, but I somehow missed Capital Mr. Phony.
Yes, that was that's maybe my line of the year in all of professional wrestling. At the end of the 2012 awards, I'm somehow voting for that. I don't know in what category, but I'm going to create one just for Capital Mr. Phony.
Well, Capital Mr. Phony is putting his Intercontinental Championship on the line. He's going to be facing Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and Cody Rhodes in a four-way. And you didn't watch SmackDown, did you, Mike?
I did not this week.
They had one horrible match with The Miz and Sin Cara. Oh, my God, this match. Match was said to be so bad live that the people who watched it in the building couldn't believe that they were going to somehow edit this for television. And they managed to. But it's one of those matches where the WWE production crew is... I know this is breaking news for everybody listening, but they're very good. And they found a way to save this match. And I know the match was bad, not only because of the reports that we got from the building, but because when you watched it very closely, the editing to save this match was hilarious. In the sense that during the comeback, for example, there was a spot. I want you to imagine you're a hard camera and you are facing the ring, and the upper right-hand corner of the ring, there's obviously a corner, a turnbuckle. And I can't remember who it was, but somebody whipped somebody towards the upper right-hand corner. And they did one of those deals where they have like three camera switches in 2 seconds. And by the time he got to that corner, it was actually the lower left-hand corner that he ran into. And if you rewind it and watch it, it's like your universe turns upside down. It's just like, I don't even know how to explain it, because there's nothing that happens in the world like this. You know, where somebody runs one direction, and in the middle of running that one direction, suddenly they're running another direction. It just doesn't happen. So watching it on television, it's like those, you know, those drawings where, like, somebody makes a painting of a stairway, and if you follow it very closely, you realize it's an impossible stairway. That's what this was. You know, it was an impossible path that somebody ran into the corner. And I always know something went horribly wrong when the editing is such that somebody passes, like, I don't know, he ran into another dimension or something like that. But anyway, match was just hideous. And now these guys are working on live pay-per-view. And apparently there's some talk that that match has actually convinced WWE that maybe Rey versus Sin Cara at WrestleMania is for sure the way to go. Because at least Rey will hopefully be able to carry this guy to a good match on a live show. We'll find out what they do tonight. But wow, that match was bad on SmackDown.
The Planet Nine from Outer Space stipulation apparently put onto that Ed Wood style. I look at who Sin Cara has faced in the time he's been in WWE. You know, guys like Alex Riley, and you know, I just some of the guys that he's been in with the Miz. I mean, what would make them think that that's going to be a good match? Well, I don't get it, but in any event, Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, I think, would be the way to go to for WrestleMania. Now, I just hope they do it straight up, where they're both fan favorites, and you know, they don't do the mask versus mask thing. But if they do it, I wish they would go all out. And if you're going to do that, to me, I mean, I know it's only September, but this is where I would somehow plant a seed of something, whether it's Mysterio somehow getting the pin when Sin Cara should have gotten it, or something like that. If you're going to do it, I think if you're going to do anything at all for WrestleMania, you may as well start planting the seeds now, just to see where you're at when it comes time in January.
I actually think that I disagree with you in the sense that I think if you're going to do that match, I think you just got to do it's got to be billed as it's a one-time-only dream match at WrestleMania. You do a babyface match. There's no breakup. There's no feud. It's just like, you know, put the tag team titles on them, have them run through a bunch of teams, constantly be talking about, man, can you imagine if these two guys had a match together? And then you shoot the angle where they agree, man, it's the biggest show of the year. Let's do this. Let's go out there and let's just put on the best show possible. And you do a babyface versus babyface match, do a bunch of high-flying and lucha and that sort of thing. And when it's over, they shake hands, they go back to being a team, everybody's happy. And I think that that's the way I do it personally. And I think that the best way to set that up is just tonight, you keep them apart, except for one big series of high spots. And it's got to be really exciting. They've got to pull it off without a hitch. They've got to do the big spot, do the face-off, and then bam, the two heels jump them from behind and they never touch again. And you just do that tease. And you replay that spot on Raw and SmackDown, and that's how you start it. Just plant that seed in people's mind of, wow, if these two guys had a match, it'd be so cool. Of course, it is live pay-per-view, so this is like their shot, you know? If they screw this spot up, I don't know. They've got to pull it off without a hitch, and that means lots of pressure. And I guess we'll see what they do tonight, but that's certainly how I'd do it.
Yeah, and I would love for that situation to actually happen that way. I just don't think it will. And you know, it's just amazing. Now they have Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio teaming when he was the guy who he should have been just chained to in the first place, one, to teach him English, and two, because Rey Mysterio, more than any other guy who's ever come up from Lucha, I think you could argue, and again, it's not like Mysterio was pure Lucha or anything like that, but, I mean, he was for the most part, and, you know, he came up and began to work the American style and became really one of the best at it, if not the best at it, and the fact that they did not hook these guys up for so long is just really, it's mind-numbing considering the amount of money they spent and the amount of hype they had picking him up.
All right, everybody, we're headed to the break. We'll talk more about this pay-per-view when we come back. Still a lot of matches to discuss on Night of Champions. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here talking the Night of Champions pay-per-view here tonight, live on pay-per-view. 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. Dave Meltzer, live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Should be a fun night tonight. Got a lot of championship matches. Got a lot of angles to kick off. And, Mike, we've been running down various matches here on the card. Let us move on to Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler. There's no title on the line here. I was mentioning a couple of segments ago the possibility, perhaps, so this is all speculation, this is not news, this is nothing I've heard, it's all speculation, that since it's the only match on the card without a title on the line, they could shoot an angle where Ziggler is forced to put the briefcase on the line against Randy Orton. Randy is going to be filming a movie. He'll be here and there. He probably will not be in the title picture for the next several months. So they've had a feud. They've each won one. Makes sense to me that Ziggler wins this, but this is WWE. It is Dolph Ziggler. It is Randy Orton. So I don't know. One would think that Randy's going to win this match because that's what they do. But for some reason, my gut tells me Dolph Ziggler actually wins. What are your thoughts?
They really should, and I'm not sure how long that Orton is going to be out or how many shows he'll miss or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure he can work every major show that they actually need him to. That's usually how it works with these types of WWE productions. They have Monday and Friday off or however they do it. But with that said, it doesn't make any sense for Orton to win this. Ziggler needs to win, and I think you have a perfect chance here with Orton going to film the movie anyway. You can have him get zigzagged on the briefcase or something like that. Or even if you give Orton the victory, which, again, would not be a shock because they love to beat Dolph Ziggler, and usually this is what they do. Even if he gets the victory somehow, having Ziggler lay him out in at least, solid fashion, I think would be the way to go. And again, another reason it wouldn't surprise me that Orton wins is because you have the, possibility, no matter how legit you think it is or not, of both Alberto Del Rio and CM Punk winning in heelish fashion over, two popular guys. So, I take that back with Cena as far as being popular, even though they're going to be in, quote-unquote, his hometown in Boston.
Now, by the way, I don't know if we actually gave an official prediction for the four-way with Miz. I don't have one.
I'd like
the title
it to be
is
Cody.
So meaningless.
I'd really like it to be Cody. And then I'd like it to be Cody and Cesaro unifying the titles.
Yeah, the title is
I
so...
I don't want to wait till WrestleMania.
It's so meaningless that I don't think it really matters at all. Miz has done... The key is, to me, if the title meant something, it's like Miz has done nothing with this title as champion, so put it on Cody. But, yeah, that's the key. I mean, whoever is the Intercontinental Champion is going to be beaten repeatedly on television. So if that's going to be the case, you may as well just keep it on Miz. Let's try and protect Cody here because he has an upside. So that's my prediction. And finally, Truth and Kofi are going to be putting their tag titles on the line against Kane and Daniel Bryan. This is a new match in the sense that it was originally Truth and Kofi against the primetime players. But Kane and Daniel Bryan, their hugging gimmick, got them so over with the fans that they put them together as a team. They're now fighting for the titles. I would expect a title change. I suppose, I don't know. They feuded forever. So, put the titles on them for a while. I'd love to see Kane and Daniel Bryan against Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio for the belts. I think that'd be awesome. So that's my prediction. Kane and Daniel Bryan win, and Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara begin to feud with them for the tag belts.
Yeah, I'm completely down with that one. I have no problem whatsoever. It's just my hope. One thing the WWE always does really, really a great job on, and you were talking about the production earlier, are the video packages that they put together. But one thing about them is that by the time you see them so often, leading into the pay-per-view, then you see them on the pre-show, then you see them on the pay-per-view that you already paid for, and it's because of this stuff, it's the reason you bought the pay-per-view in the first place, so don't show the whole 5-minute video package again. I hope somehow, late last night, they were able to work a deal with whoever it is that owns the Odd Couple theme song, and they actually have a video package put together like the old 70s TV show with Tony Randall and Jack Klugman, and they have some sort of video package like that leads into the match.
My God, did you date yourself right there?
I know. At least I saw during replays and reruns later on old UHF stations while Dave Meltzer saw those things live.
That's true. All right, everybody, that is the lineup. Night of Champions taking place tonight from the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com starting at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And at 8 o'clock p.m., 11 Eastern, I will begin my live running delayed tweeting my thoughts on this show as it goes along. So you can follow me at Brian Alvarez for that and all of the other things I tweet as well, including, pictures of my cats. All right, let's get into some further news here. Last night, actually, I wanted to talk about this was a big night for boxing. Dave was raving about boxing of late, saying it felt hotter than WWE and UFC. Take us through what's going down in the world of fantastic fisticuffs, as Mauro Ranallo would say.
That's it's funny that there are a couple fighters out there that have really shaken up and excited the boxing fan base. Guys like Andre Ward at 168 pounds and guys like Sergio Martinez at 160 pounds, who has quietly crept himself up into being one of the top pound-for-pound fighters in the world. In fact, some think he's third. Some think he's actually first because of the inactivity of Floyd Mayweather Jr. and the loss by Manny Pacquiao. Some people even put him as high as first. I think that's insane, but it doesn't really matter whatsoever. He's an exciting fighter with a unique style, and he doesn't mind getting knocked down and taking three punches in order to give two good ones. And even though he's Argentinian, he does that in the old throwback style of famous Mexican fighters, and is the reason that Mexican fighters tend to be so popular and end up creeping up to become surprise attractions on pay-per-view. And last night, HBO ran a pay-per-view with Sergio Martinez facing off against the legitimate Mexican superstar, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., obviously the son of the famous father, who went 11 years in almost 90 fights. I think it was 86 fights before he suffered his first loss. Well, his son suffered his first loss last night, and I believe it was 46 fights that he's had. Losing a unanimous decision to Martinez in a fight that he was really never in. Now, he was much, much bigger than Martinez and had a legitimate puncher's chance, but Martinez was able to stand outside, use his footwork, dance backwards, and really pepper Chavez right up the middle and keep him off balance, not allowing him to set his feet and really be able to square up and land a really big, hard shot that he was going to need to do to win. And for 11 and a half rounds, it was a clinical performance by Martinez, breaking Chavez down and breaking his spirit down. And Chavez's father was going nuts at ringside, yelling at his corner. And Freddie Roach was interviewed by Max Kellerman between the 11th and 12th round. And he said, I thought about even stopping the fight. I asked him if he wanted it stopped, and he didn't think he could come back and win because he wasn't, Chavez just was not letting his hands go and feeling comfortable enough. He really had a lot sapped out of him. But then with halfway through the last round, he came and dropped a hard left hand on Martinez, which kind of dropped him between the top and the middle rope. And then he landed two more hard left hands, which completely crumpled Martinez, who was fighting that last round in really a valiant but realistically a stupid fashion for him, because there was just no reason to stand in there besides hyping up the crowd. And he did that and ended up getting knocked down and was almost knocked out, but Chavez just did not have enough time to go ahead and do that. And that was just a raucous crowd that was at the Thomas and Mack Center. In fact, they sent the record there with having over 19,000 people into that building. So it was a great night that way. The problem was, just down the street, Golden Boy Promotions was running a show at the MGM Grand Garden, and that featured your nephew, if I'm not mistaken, Canelo Alvarez.
That's right.
Canelo Alvarez.
I taught him the stand-up game.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. And the quick fists and the powerful punches of Young Cinnamon, another legitimate Mexican superstar who a lot of people wanted to see face off against Chavez, but it's just one of those things promotionally where I believe it's going to happen. It's going to do a ridiculous number, not only on pay-per-view, but the attendance in Mexico is going to be just absolutely epic, but it's not going to happen yet. But he had his showcase, and these were scheduled also to be dueling pay-per-views, and thankfully that didn't happen. But they ended up running, aiming at the same fan base in the same city, so close together, in such high-profile bouts. It's really a mind-numbing thing, and I have a big article that's up on the front page, or soon will be up on the front page, on WrestlingObserver.com, talking about that whole situation, because it was really a dumb business move. Golden Boy, they had three different types of fights scheduled that for one reason or another ended up not happening, and they had more than 3 months to change this around, but they chose to be hard-headed and go and compete with the Martinez-Chavez show. So really some bad business and a really risky thing to do, breaking up the crowds. But, you know, even according to them, they had a good attendance at the MGM Grand, doing about 14,000 or so. Certainly wouldn't have been a sellout. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the gate actually was and how many tickets were given away, considering that it looks like the Thomas and Mack number seems to be very, very legitimate. So just an interesting night and a fun night. And even though it was bad for the fans, in that there's, you know, two competing shows happening at the same time, and the risk that they were both going to be pay-per-views, which is really extra insulting, it's still a good night for boxing, because, you know, a lot of excitement came out of it, and there are some really fun boxers to watch. And if you do have, you know, a bad time in MMA, it's not like it's, you know, bad to go back to boxing or K1 or anything else, as long as they're having a good fight.
And we must head to a break. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for about 20 more minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer will be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of the website at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern for the Night of Champions pay-per-view. All of the results of the show, all the angles. If you don't watch the show, or you watch the show and you want to get Dave's thoughts, you are welcome to head over there. It's absolutely free. Later on tonight, for subscribers, Dave and I will be doing a brand new radio show talking all of the news this weekend in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. All of the results of Night of Champions. We'll do a Lawler update. We'll do a preview of Raw tomorrow night. It is one of thousands and thousands of radio shows in our archives. Thousands of hours of audio available at your fingertips if you sign up. We do pretty much daily radio shows, sometimes several shows per day. Got some ideas for some new shows coming up as well for subscribers. Not only to get all of the new content when you sign up, but if you sign up today, it is as if you signed up in 2005. Jump into the archives. Every show we have ever done is available in the archives right now. Thousands and thousands of hours of audio, thousands of shows. Check it out. If you like what you hear here on this program, and you only get to hear it once per week, you are missing out. Daily radio shows. I guarantee you, if you love this show, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. You can cancel at any time. Give it a shot. It's only $11. I guarantee you won't regret it. Check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Follow Mike, at Sempervivi. And follow Dave, at Dave Meltzer, W-O-N. Because Dave Meltzer is a winner. Mike, we're talking about a lot of different things today, including Night of Champions. We have not yet talked, however, about, first off, the UFC changes, which we'll get into in just a moment. But since we talked about it earlier in the show, the TNA No Surrender pay-per-view, I believe was the name of the show. Final show before Bound for Glory. What were your thoughts on No Surrender and Jeff Hardy versus Austin Aries after the smoke cleared for the title at Bound for Glory this month, next month?
You know, we talked about it before the show where you definitely were, and I agreed with you as far as Bubba Ray being, I thought, one of the smartest choices to make into that, because I didn't, you know, we talked about the risk you take with Jeff Hardy being a bigger star than Austin Aries, and realistically, is it a match anybody really wants to see? And at least Bubba Ray's a character people can get into, and him and Aries have already gone at it, and it's been very entertaining, and it would be a good bridge for Aries and somebody else, but when you decide on what you want to do there. But with all that said, I guess it's okay, because you can say at least you have a, you know, a quote-unquote dream match, or what TNA would consider to put out there to their fans as somewhat of a dream match. And I don't think it's all that bad of an idea. I think, you know, we've been talking about how stale Aries' run has felt at times, even though, you know, they got off to a good start, and it's just kind of, it's not sputtered, but it, with Aces and Eights and everything else going on, they're at a real, they're at a real weird crossroads times with a lot of the angles they were doing in the whole nine yards, and this could be something to really kind of spark things for Aries. And I don't think it'll be an awful match or anything like that. I just wonder how the fans will take to it. But as long as Aries gets the win, it's a good match. I don't necessarily think it's all that bad of a deal, even though, again, I kind of liked going the Bully Ray direction.
Is James Storm dead as a babyface after failing yet again?
No, he's not. But, you know, with the way everything's gone with that storyline anyway, and the fact that you're now limping in to a situation where he's supposed to be getting revenge on Bobby Roode, I think you just right now do, with those two guys, everything you can possibly do to get enough of the interest back and hope that Roode just beats the ever-loving hell or Storm beats the ever-loving hell out of Roode at the end to get his revenge. And, you know, this isn't going to be Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard in the cage, I quit or anything like that, but you have to at least get Storm in that position. And then from there, you got to kind of treat it with kid gloves, because if you do want him to get back to the point he was about a year or so ago, if not longer than that, then you really, you've got to give him something after this that really makes him look like a standout guy.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. When lockdown occurred and he didn't win the title, I mean, at that point right there, I was like, you just killed James Storm. I really thought they killed James Storm by not having him win there. Just the babyface just can't get the job done. And, you know, I heard the stories, it's going to be, we're changing it to Bound for Glory. You know, he's going to get the belt over Bobby Roode at Bound for Glory. We're going to build it up. He's going to win this, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, you know, plans change, pull the rug out from under him. Obviously, the story is that, well, you know, he wasn't as over as he needed to be and that sort of thing. And I was always kind of like, yeah, you're right. And why is that? Because he didn't win at lockdown. You gave him a 20-point head start. As a babyface, you gave him a 20-point head start in the Bound for Glory tournament. And then, on top of that, not only did he fail in the Bound for Glory series at the end, but he failed after getting a 20-point head start, after failing at lockdown. So, I don't know. I just, I think this is it. They had something with the guy, but, and it's, you know, I'm holding nothing against James Storm. I think James Storm is excellent, but there's a reason that his matches, he's not the most popular guy in the company, and it's not his fault. It is the booking of James Storm, and yeah, Bobby Roode and James Storm at Bound for Glory, you know? Not really that blown away by the idea. I've seen the match before. There's nothing on the line, and I guess we'll see how it goes.
Well, that's all. That revenge should be on the line, but did they do so much damage, and they probably did, but they very likely did, into getting anyone to care about why James Storm wants to rip Bobby Roode's head off and why you should care about him doing so. So, this Impact better be a hell of a lot better than the last one, and really trying to drive that point home, and they better go, you know, full ship ahead and trying to get this into everyone's minds. But it's probably too late.
But the revenge should have been him winning this and beating Roode for the title.
That went out the window. But Brian, that went out the window with Aries, and they should have had a contingency plans, and they should be able to think, you know, a little bit wider scope in that, okay, well, if it's going to be a 1 month thing with Aries, what do we do? But what if he takes off? And they weren't able to work on the fly, and you saw that with the Claire Lynch thing. You saw that a little bit with Joe Park, where that it looked like Abyss was going to come back, and they were able to. And that's been a little bit of a success, but that was all happening at the same time. And they just, since that point, have seemed to have real wires crossed. So, you know, again, now they have got no reason to you know, no excuse to not go full sail ahead with this, even though, yeah, it's probably not going to work.
Yes, but did the Aries thing take off? I don't think it did.
Well, no, that's another piece of, you know, again, that's another problem, which I assume that's why they're going with Jeff Hardy, because it's a hot shot of a remedy, but at least it's a, again, as long as they have a really good match and Aries looks better than he did before, you know, coming out of the thing. I mean, because, again, it's not his fault that he was holding on to the title belt while interrogating the guy from Aces and Eights. I mean, it's that cornball stupid stuff that, you know, you just miss. It's a quality control issue that misses because it doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. And it's just, again, Aries, he has not been wrestling much, which, you know, should be his forte. So hopefully this will bring, you know, for his sake, some people back in the fold for him with this match with Hardy. And I assume that's what they're hoping to do. But his fall, again, his fall came at a time where all of these wires were being crossed. And no, it didn't work. But again, that's not his fault. And it's not for him as the wrestler. And it's not for him as the mouthpiece, because he's done a very solid job that way, too. So, again, he deserves more of a shot, whether he's been effective right now or not, I think.
UFC 153 in Rio is coming up, and disaster over the last couple of days. Quentin Jackson pulled out of a match with Glover Teixeira, and the Eric Koch match with champion Jose Aldo is out the window after Aldo suffered an infection after getting in a motorcycle accident. He was, yes, about to have a big fight in Rio de Janeiro, and he was riding around on a motorcycle, got hit by a car. He's fine, aside from the infection, should be able to fight soon. His fight with Frankie Edgar, Edgar replacing Koch, actually. I'm confused upon my replacements, but I think I have it right now. Anyway, that fight will be postponed. The new main event of Rio ended up being Anderson Silva. Yes, Anderson Silva is returning 205, non-title fight, against Stefan Bonner. And this has caused the internet to explode. And, Mike, what are your thoughts on Anderson Silva fighting in Rio against Stefan Bonner in the main event of a pay-per-view? Are you arguing, as others have, including our buddy Todd Martin, that the show should have just been scrapped?
No, absolutely not. Look, it's you can say what you want about it, but this is these are two guys who took over the two spots on this show are old-school guys, and I was... Again, I understand the John Jones side. I understand the sporting side of that argument when it had happened. But with that said, I guess I'm just old, and I'm not set in my ways or anything like that. If this went away, again, you know, that's fine and everything. But, you know, when you're called on to fight, when you're a mixed martial arts fighter, you do so. When you have a chance to help the cause, you go ahead and do so. And Anderson Silva and Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira did that. I mean, the part of this whole story where they call Silva, who was willing to step up the last time, and he's going to step up this time and fight at light heavyweight against Stefan Bonner. And Nogueira was like, hey, I got nothing to do. I'll fight, too. And he ends up fighting Dave Herman. And, again, these are not fights that you would, in theory, pay for, but they just canceled the show. If they had not canceled the show, I could absolutely agree with Todd and say, go ahead and cancel this one. I just don't think doing that twice when you have to look at the bigger picture of pay-per-view providers and the cable industry and public image and the whole nine yards. I know people say, well, your public image is hurt worse by having this type of show on there, but that's not true. I mean, look how many shows that have not done great numbers, but they were ones where you had no expectations going in, and they end up being really exciting and fun, and the people that did pay their money get their money's worth, and they have something else to add to the video library that'll be something new that people see later on Fuel or on FX or something like that. So I don't think this is too, you know, unintelligent of a show to keep on. I like the, you know, Phil Davis and Prado, I think, is good. You know, obviously nobody really wants to see John Fitch, but hey, Eric Silva, you know, you hope you knock him out or something like that. Teixeira against Maldonado, again, you get the opportunity to see a big early knockout there. So to me, there are worse things in this world. And again, if they had not just canceled one, I would say okay. But the other problem you have here, too, is they were talking about doing, you know, Chael and Silva in Brazil, and that had to get pulled, and there was a whole bunch of shakeup there. So, you know, it's that's another reason why I don't think you could have canceled this show.
One thing very quickly is when UFC was at its absolute hottest around 2010, there was never, no matter how many injuries, no matter how many main events were lost, there was never talk that we should just cancel this show because the demand was there and it was so hot. People were going to buy a show if you had matches. That's where UFC was a couple of years ago. And I think people need to understand that that's where UFC is right now in Rio. So the people in Rio that are getting this show are exceedingly happy with the current card. And it's going to do better on pay-per-view in the U.S. as well. So I can't think of a single logical reason to cancel this show. Although, as I've noted, it has been argued. We're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. The WWE Night of Champions pay-per-view is about to kick off, and if you are watching the show, or if you're not watching the show, and you want results, live running play-by-play on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is going to be running down all the matches on the show, and then later on tonight, Dave and I are going to be back, a brand new radio show, only for subscribers. It'll be exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. That is our website. Tomorrow, of course, is Raw, and I'm sure we'll be getting a lot of updates on the status of Jerry Lawler. He is, at this moment, still in the hospital, although he will be discharged next week. He'll be heading home. He is putting on a strong face, like your classic old-school baby face. And we shall see how the recovery process goes. Tonight, John Bradshaw Layfield is going to be doing commentary for the show, as he will tomorrow on Raw as well. And Mike, I'm looking forward, at least for the short term, to the return of JBL. He is only scheduled at this point for this week, but you never know. This could end up being a gig until Jerry Lawler comes back.
You know, be honest with you, to give Cole a week off, just to give him a week off, just for the hell of it, even though that's not something they do, to get JR and JBL would be way too much to ask for. But I wasn't as big of a fan as many people were of JBL, but being a guy who does like a lot of crappy insider references and being a little bit older, being far closer to 40 than I am to 20, some of the references JBL would throw out there would always make me laugh. And again, he's a... They need characters. They need people who are over no matter what they're doing. I don't even care if they're ringing the bell or not, and JBL is certainly one of those guys.
All right, everybody, we're going to head out of here for today, but always check out WrestlingObserver.com, including if you ever try to hear this show and you find it preempted for football. Happens a lot this time of year. We'll be up and running at WrestlingObserver.com and on the TuneIn Radio app for your smartphone. Just search for Sports Byline, and you can listen to the show live, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, every Sunday. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, at Sports Byline. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you again next week. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.